Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
There we go.
First I was a Catholic girl. Loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo.
Hey, Ben, come here.
Hey, this is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm Doubter 5, and as usual, we have Wombat on the phone. Say hello, Wombat.
I'm the Wombat. I hope everything is going well today.
It is doing well. It's a nice, beautiful, sunny, hot day outside. We have the air conditioning running in here. I hope it's not too loud for the listeners. But it certainly helps the radio station stay cool for the equipment and for the DJ. Excuse me. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. If you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're not alone. You're just wrong. That's right. There are several atheist and rationalist groups that exist here in Knoxville. Matter of fact, the Atheist Society of Knoxville has over 700 members. And we'll be telling you how you can connect with them later on in the show. Also, did you know that there was an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
I knew all about it. I couldn't wait to tell you about it. Okay, so check this out. It blew my mind. At first, I thought that you were talking about the last show with the guy who could like shoot webs out of his hand, and I watched it and I was like, this is really corny. And then it had three movies and the third one was just terrible. Then they did it again with like this Andrew Garfield guy, and I thought he was pretty good in the role, but for all intents and purposes it wasn't very good. This new one show, the new one that you're talking about, so good. And I think Tom Holland is like the best main character. I think it's the best, truest version of it I've ever seen in my parents.
I don't think you're on the right track there.
10 out of 10.
Wombat, I don't think that's the right track you're on. It's an atheist call-in TV show, not a movie. And it's been going for 7 years here in Knoxville. August will be 7 years. And we'll be telling you how you can watch that as well later on in the show. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there. And you'll be hearing them right here on this program and generally on this station as they are in rotation. A couple things happened in the region over the last week. We talked about one of them, which was the unveiling of the Clarence Darrow statue at the monkey trial location in Dayton, Tennessee.
Finally, what trial was that again?
I'm sorry?
What was the basis of that trial? What was the point of that trial again?
Well, back in 1925 in Tennessee, it was against law. You're not allowed to teach evolution in school. So in order to challenge the law, his last name was Scopes. A teacher named Scope, a biology teacher, challenged the law. He invited the sheriff to come. He invited reporters to come to his classroom. And he proceeded to teach evolution. They arrested him, and then it started like the biggest trial of the century. And the biggest lawyers from all over the country came down. A two-time presidential candidate, William Brent Jennings Bryant, took the creationist side, and Clarence Darrow, a nationally known secular lawyer, came down to take that side. And if you want to know more about it, just look up Monkey Trial and or go online and look up Inherit the Wind, which is a movie, a play that they made out of it. It's very good. It's got some good stars.
Man, that sounds fascinating. Yeah. I can't wait to look that up.
And the next thing that happened, go ahead.
it's a monumental thing that happened in the courtroom, basically. Mm-hmm. Can we teach science in science classrooms, right. basically?
Right, and they brought their best arguments on both sides. And matter of fact, in the movie, they actually took the dialogue from the courtroom records, and used it as the back and forth in the movie, and it was very dramatic.
Oh, man.
And the other thing that happened today, well, this week, that came out on the news this week, today, was that the local chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the East Tennessee chapter, brought sent a couple of letters to the Knoxville City Police Department. I'll get it straight in here in a minute. I keep thinking about the Sheriff's Department, but it was the city. Because they had in their building a Bible quote, a Christian Bible quote. And although Christian Bible quotes are up all over East Tennessee, and they're all in churches and out front of churches and people's homes and in newspapers and all kinds of places, it's against the law to have them in government buildings. Government cannot take a side on religion, for any particular religion or for religion against non-religion. It's against the Constitution, and therefore it's against the law. Now, I saw a couple of officials get up and talk about it today, and they gave the impression that, oh, we could fight it, but we don't really want to spend the money. No, they can't fight it. They can fight it and lose. They can't win this. The case law is solid on this. Government entities cannot promote one religion over another or religion over non-religion, just part of the Constitution. And they did the right thing, though. They took a couple of letters before they responded. Then when they did respond, they responded appropriately. They announced that they would take it down and that they would then set up a hall of spiritual, what do you call it? A hall of inspiration where they would allow different religions and secular groups to put up their own inspirational messages. Now, that's the way to handle it, and I give full kudos to the city of Knoxville for their approach to this issue. Now, you say, why would Freedom From Religion take that down after so many years? Well, it's because religion has had privilege. They've been given government and legislative privilege in America for a couple of hundred years, about as long as America's been around. And now it's time that we call them on it. Atheism is one of the fastest growing religious perspectives in America. And you can just be aware that we're not going to sit down and shut up anymore. Our place is not in a corner, which you would relegate us to if you're a believer. But we're just not going to take it anymore. Moving on. You brought up a good topic today.
Not to get
Oh, do you want to talk on this before we move on?
So I think it's really, really cool. I hope everyone is just more appreciative of the fact that if you are religious, we don't have a government that lets, you know, if say you're a Christian, government that sides towards Muslims, or if you're, you know, a Mormon, you don't have a religion or a government that sides towards Jews. So, like, if you bring a Jewish person, or the Jewish person is more favored, or there's like a Jewish quote from the Torah on the judge's pulpit. It's basically we don't want a government that's pro atheism either. We want a government that's even-handed,
strictly neutral
with its deliberations, and strictly neutral in all of its decisions. So the court cases that are being brought up by atheists aren't trying to get points on our side. It's trying to get points on everybody's
side. That's right. We're trying to make the institution, and particularly this particular institution that enforces the law, and it is charged with curtailing your freedoms if you act wrongly. Can you imagine being a Muslim and being arrested, brought to jail, and you see a Christian vote, I mean, a Christian quote over the door. And, I mean, what message does that send you? If you're an atheist or a Hindu or anything else. It's illegal for the government itself to take that position, much less put up a quote about it. And that's why these Well, that's also why In God We Trust on our money is unconstitutional and
illegal. Hey, hey, we got a topic today. We need to get to it. You
okay.
can do this rant later.
Oh, you, so you caught me just in time.
It leads into what we're talking about just in time. So, okay. You know, there's, I guess you can call it a stereotype going around. We talked about this before. But it seems like, you know, there's a lot of chips on the shoulder of the atheist. So there's a lot of reasons why you would find an atheist who's, like, eager to rant about, like, how twisted society is and the conflict that comes with just understanding something that other people don't and the sense of superiority that might come from a person who's constantly, you know, denigrating the environment that they're around and the belief systems of the people around them. It seems like, you know, compared to a believer that has, like, the assumed state of, you know, peace and tranquility, you know, with the concept of death and, like, you know, what will happen to their souls when they die, here's this atheist coming around saying, hey, you don't have souls, you don't have this, you don't have that. It seems like you have to give up a lot. It makes it seem, from at least from the believer's perspective, that you have to give up a lot, not only just that sense of tranquility that you have, but also that happiness that you have in your heart, that connection, that warmth that you get with, like, the Holy Spirit, to become this ranting, angry atheist. And I feel like that's not always the case. So the thought of today's show isn't so much, hey, we're actually not that angry at all. We're actually pretty happy. We can laugh. We can joke. But really, it is just an understanding of what you need to give up to become an atheist if you're already a believer right now. And I know that sounds weird, but here's an even weirder statement. The thing you have to give up isn't really anything at all. When you think about it, you're actually giving away nothing. That's my argument. That's the show. You're giving away nothing when you become a believer and become an atheist. Because once you make that transition, you'll realize that the things that you're giving up weren't really even there or important in the first place.
Right.
And what you have instead is the same state of mind as you were when you were a believer to where you were an atheist. And I mean that in the sense of, if you love, you know, Game of Thrones and eating nachos and hanging out with your family and contributing to your society, well, if you make that switch, if you realize something that doesn't sit well with you and you figure it out and you honestly assess it and come to a new conclusion on what your faith and how the world works, you're still going to love Game of Thrones. You're still going to love nachos. You're still going to love playing with people outside, and you still love contributing to your community.
Yeah, nothing's but you skipped over. You skipped over one.
Go for it. Oh, which one did I forget?
Yeah, no, you skipped over one saying, you know, if you love hanging out with your family, there are things that you might have to give up. These are conditional things, things that are conditional on your believing. There are people who, if they came out of the closet and said that they were an atheist, they would be kicked out of their home. They would lose their family. And some people would lose their income if they happen to be a preacher. And there are those who are preachers who no longer believe. They're stuck in the pulpit. So there are some things that you would have to give up. But my contention is that they're very worth giving up, because you gain things that are much more valuable.
So let me disagree with you on that. Say I love hanging out with my family, and I decide that I don't believe in God anymore. Even once I make that decision, I'm still the same person I was before.
Oh, I understand.
I'm still going to be a person that loves to hang out with my family. But hold on, if I choose to bring up the change in religion to them, it's their decision at that point, because I still am a person that loves them and would want to hang out with them. And if I should say to myself, you know what, clearly I want to maintain this bond, I'm not in a position where I can maintain my own independence financially, I'm just going to continue to go to church with them, I'll stay quiet, I'll be respectful, because in the world there's a lot of different people with different beliefs, and I'm willing to respect I'll bow if they want me to bow, I'll pray if they want me to pray, but for the most part, when I move on and I move into my own home or I move into my own situation, I'll live the lifestyle I want to, and my parents, if I feel like they'll jeopardize a relationship, I'll just keep it away from them, and I'll just maintain myself in a happy situation, because what's important to me is that I like to be around them.
Well, that's great, and
I would
kudo you for that. And I do understand you wanting to keep a positive note on here and talk about the enlightenment and things that you get from it, which is wonderful. However, there's a couple of things that you mentioned in there. If I choose to give up my religion, you said, if I choose non-belief or over-belief, I'm firmly convinced that it's not a choice. You're convinced of one thing, or you're not convinced of one thing. If you're convinced of God, that God is real and religion is real, and your spiritual life depends on how you act and what you believe, and you believe in God and Jesus and all that stuff, then you cannot choose not to believe any more than you can just choose to be an atheist. You can't choose what you believe, in other words. It's not a choice. Also,
let me just get that real quick.
Okay.
Just in the concept of choosing. So I totally get you on the fact that you can't choose to convince yourself on all that stuff. I understand those semantics. But the concept here is when you come to the realization that what you believe in is no longer justified, you have to make some choices after that point. And that might include some decisions on how you call yourself. And you may choose a different label of what to call yourself. But the whole concept is you're still the same person regardless of whatever label you decide to call yourself, even after you make that what you think is the most fundamental realization in your entire life, that maybe the God that you believe in isn't no longer the God that you're still convinced in.
Yeah, it's a conclusion. And then, however, you went on to say, you know, if your family decides not to have anything to do with you, that's their choice. However, if there are a lot of teenagers out there who no longer believe. And if they came out of the closet to their family, a lot of them would shun them. They literally call it shunning. And they would throw them out of the house. They would lose their livelihood and their education. They would become a ward of the state if they decided to report to the ward.
True, and I'm not going to doubt that that's not a scenario that could happen. But
yep.
There are also scenarios where the opposite will happen as well. I think what you need to do as a person in that kind of a situation is understand that religion is an important thing to a lot of people, including your parents, and you need to read that situation for yourself. You need to be able to make that conclusion on your own. But I won't go on a limb and say every single family is going to react in the way that you had just mentioned. I, for one, have come from a family that was very religious.
Mm-hmm.
We went to multiple churches throughout while I was growing up in a military household. And when I eventually came out, as an atheist, my mom accepted it without much more of a fanfare. We still have discussions, but they're not really even heated topics. They're just, hey, tell me more about this. Let me explain to you this. Did you know about this in the Bible? And I'll have a conversation with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends more or less amicably. My
sure.
sister's in the same scenario. And I can guarantee you that other people will have more. Because I had come out, I have a more
honest,
better relationship with my, a more intellectually honest relationship
uh-huh.
with my mother and with my sister
right.
than I would have if I had tried to keep it to myself.
Yeah.
And I found it's more rewarding to just be in a position where you're not reliant on them, but you can still have a healthy relationship where you can tell them where you are. And, you know, there's people who have unhealthy relationships even when they have the same relationship
well, sure.
or religion.
Yeah.
So it's really just a situation that they should be willing to read. But the key point is when they make that realization that they can't, you know, choose left or right, when they make the realization and they're forced to come to terms with it, they will make a choice of what label they're going to call themselves. They have to make a choice of who they can express themselves to, and who is, like, going to be their new, you know, I would say their peers or the people they look up to, because it's going to fundamentally change that point of view. But it's not going to change them. They're still going to be the same
right.
person
right.
because they aren't giving up anything truly important to them, really, when they consider
well,
it. Because what's important
they're
to them
either
is themselves.
Expressing what they've lost or they're not expressing what they've lost or what they've gained in terms of perspective. They haven't changed from like telling them to not telling them. They're still the same person, like you say, and I agree
yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
And I give full kudos to people who come out. There are ways to do it and ways not to do it. I would not recommend making an announcement. Just be honest as things come up and talk about religion or not as you feel necessary. But I would not make an announcement. Of any kind, just let them draw their own conclusions. One thing I do have a problem with is people who are out of the closet. They tell people they don't believe. They've given up their religion, and then they say, "I'm not an atheist." You ask them, "Well, do you believe in God?" And they'll say, "No." You'll say, "Well, that's the definition of an atheist." They say, "No, I'm not an atheist. I'm out. I mean, I'm out. I'm a non-believer. I don't believe in God, but I'm not an atheist." And to me, they're standing over there pointing at you saying, "I'm not with them." And there's no real good reason for it. Atheism just means you don't believe in God, period. If you don't believe in God, you're an atheist. Why is it such a problem for some people to take on the label? And the only reason I can think of is they're trying not to offend the very people who made it a poison label in the first place.
So the only thing that I would say to the first point we were talking about, like, hey, don't make this like a parade or an announcement or like a don't make a musical out of it, is it shouldn't be a big deal that you don't believe in a God anymore.
Right.
To a certain point where, you know, what shouldn't be a big deal that now you like carrots? And that should be the ultimate goal of where, you know, your religious stance is in America.
Yeah.
It should just be, oh, I like black curtains. No one cares. Like, it's not a big deal. And if there are people who do believe in a God, and if there are people who don't, it shouldn't matter. As long as it doesn't affect us on a court case or a law or the way how, you know, society is, you know, ultimately founded, we are ultimately a country that respects religious freedom. So, like, if people are religious, it's not a big deal. And if they aren't, it should equally not as be as big of a deal. And that's the goal that we're all really trying to get to. And I guess the concept of why people would not want to call themselves atheists is because ultimately, you know, especially if you're coming from a religious place, it's all about this personal relationship that you're having with an ultimate deity. If you believe it, you don't want to jump into another label because you don't really have an association with that. So I really don't mind what people want to call themselves, because ultimately how they want to relate to things is all about their personal relationship with their particular connotations with certain words, whether they like them or not.
Yeah.
But if they're not espousing, you know, belief in a particular God, or if they're not forcing me to live in a certain way or lobbying some sort of politician in some sort of mega group that causes certain laws to be formed over others, I'm totally fine with whatever they want to call themselves. At the end of the day, we have less people harassing us or less people obstructing justice and the production of laws, and more people simply living however they want, personal individuals, by whatever label they want to call themselves. And I'm just getting back to the point. Whatever label they choose to feel most comfortable with, you know, it's not going to effectively change them. Because the only thing they've realized is, maybe I was mistaken about this thing that doesn't really exist. I'm still the same person, and I'm just going to continue to live this way with just a different perspective in terms of you know, ultimately what I might think might happen to me, my spirituality, whether I think that's the number one priority or not. I'm still going to treat people nicely. I'm still going to, you know, respect the people who were kind to me in my life, and I'm still going to work hard.
Right.
And if I'm doing that same thing, then ultimately I'm not really a different person, regardless of what I'm going to call myself, whether it's an atheist or anything else.
To be sure. I like your attitude.
I didn't like positive things.
Well,
but you know what? There's a lot of benefits from that, because, you know, if we're not getting close to the bottom of the hour, are we not?
Yeah,
okay.
We are.
Okay, so then let's get into the positive points of why it's not only just a big deal, but all the things that you'll have time for now that you have a new clear perspective and you're the same person. Basically, you're freed of your spiritual chains, and you can enjoy life to its fullest. Let's get into that in the next half.
Sounds good. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter 5, and we have Wombat on the phone.
Wombat!
This is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM Live, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. The phone number, if you want to write it down and maybe join us after the break, is
865-333-5937,
865-333-5937. And I was thinking that maybe some listeners might want to communicate with the DJ. That's Doubter5 at digitalfreethought.com. So just write me a doubt or five at digitalfreethought.com. And by the way,
we got email now.
Yes, digitalfreethought.com is my personal website. It's atheist-based, and you can read all kinds of articles by going there and checking it out. Now, for our break music, we have an atheist song. It's by the Symphony of Science, and it's called A Wave of Reason. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
When you are studying any matter or considering any philosophy, ask yourself only, what are the facts and what is the truth that the facts bear out?
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating the universe. If we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to be skeptical of those in authority, then we're up for grabs.
In all of science, we're looking for a balance between data and theory. You don't have to delude yourself with Iron Age fairy tales.
The same spiritual fulfillment that people find in religion can be found in science by coming to know, if you will, the mind of God.
The real world, as it actually is not evil. It's remarkable. And the way to understand the physical world is to use science.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold. Teach a man to reason. It's a thing for a lifetime. Think for a lifetime.
Cosmology brings us face to face with the deepest mysteries, with questions that were once treated only in religion and myth.
The desire to be connected with the cosmos reflects a profound reality. We are connected, not in the trivial ways that astrology promises, but in the deepest ways.
I can't believe the special stories that have been made up about our relationship to the universe at large. Look at what's out there. It isn't in proportion.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating the universe.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
Never let yourself be diverted by what you wish to believe, but look only and solely at what are the facts.
Enjoy the balance of the thought and the story, but make sure that there's a clear, sharp line drawn on the floor. To do otherwise is to embrace man.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
Listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on Wozo 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. I'm Dotter Five. We have Wombat on the phone. Hello, Wombat.
Wombat! Yeah!
This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. WOZO Radio 103.9, now PFM, right here in Knoxville. We are live. Now, let's talk about the free thought groups that are here in Knoxville. As I said earlier in the show, I'd connect you with them, and here we go. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. November marks our 15th year. ASK has over 700 members, and you can find them online at knoxvilleatheists.org. Or you can go directly to their meetup, to the meetup page, and look for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. Also, you can join us in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at West Hills Flats and Taps on Kingston Pike, near Westtown Mall. It's across the street from, like, the Copper Cellar, I think, where we meet to get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody's welcome, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Matt Dell, Auntie. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee, and they've been around for more than 20 years. RET is biweekly presentations and discussions that are held at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays on the Goins Administration Building, Cafeteria Annex. I'll say it right in a minute. And if that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events, or just follow the signs once you get on campus. There's also a no-God church-type setting in Knoxville called Sunday Assembly. It started in England just a few years ago, and it's spread around the world. It's a church for people who have had enough of religion but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month, however, and it's on the fourth Sunday downtown near the fairgrounds in the International Building. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. Finally, there's a newcomer to the free thought groups in Knoxville, but certainly not a newcomer in general. It's the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We now have an East Tennessee chapter that meets down at Earth Fair. I think it's the third Wednesday of every month, maybe the second Wednesday. But anyway, if you want to, go online at Facebook or online generally and just look for the East Tennessee chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And you can join them for their meetings or just correspond. That's about it. We're going back to the show now. Ty, you said you wanted to get into something, Wombat, right after the break.
Yeah, let's get into some positive things about staying as yourself, staying who is who you are, but simply just changing your answer from just one question, because that's really the only difference between what ultimately makes a theist different from an atheist. It's just the response to a single question, a change in so much of philosophy, but mm-hmm. just... hey, how would you respond to this? It goes from a yes to a no. That's it.
Right.
So, again, you're not losing anything. So what are some things that we appreciate as being atheists? Well, you know, like I said, I still value my family. I still love participating to the community. Today I just gave blood, and it was a fun experience because it's all – I remember when I was so afraid of needles, and now it's just like a thing that I actually volunteer to do. I enjoy working really hard at my job. I'm always learning new things. We're being aggressively trained in a whole bunch of different fields. And on my free time, I'm learning sign language because I've always wanted to integrate myself more with the deaf community, particularly as my mom's beginning to lose her own hearing. We've got her hearing aids, but, like, it's something that I want to prepare for in the future. And it's a really fun language to learn because you don't have to waste time picking up accents. You can just instantly throw yourself into it from just a series of YouTube videos and just practicing with friends and local meetup groups. And then I like running outside. There's a group I run with every weekend. It's the run walk group of Bluegrass. And I typically do one 5K every week, and we meet up and walk around a park every weekend. And I like cooking, and I like playing music in my free time, too. And all of those things are not only things that I loved before I became an atheist, but now I have even more time to spend with them because I'm spending less time devoted to something that I know now isn't particularly a fundamental reason for the primary focus of my life,
right?
Or the reason why I have a life in
right.
the first place.
Well, now you're talking about
something going, so.
Right. Now you're talking about purpose. How can you have purpose without God in your life?
So, if you're asking me that, like, purpose is in what kind of metaphysical sense, like a supernatural destiny. Or, like, just the desire
well,
to do things, the motivation.
I myself am an atheist. I have all kinds of purpose in my life, but it's not a church-given or a Bible-given purpose. And I just thought you might want to talk about it. You're talking about things that you love to do now that you
sure.
don't have to worry about the time that you spend in church or practicing your religion, practicing your choir, as it were. How do you find purpose in life? I'm just giving you an opening there.
Okay, so I think what people are really good at doing is finding purposes in things. And, of course, we can apply that to ourselves. I found purpose in improving myself and improving my finances, improving my knowledge, improving the way I treat other people, improving my own maturity. You know, the way how I see it is I have one life to live, but that's not necessarily a sad thing. What it is an awakening through the realization that I have this wonderful opportunity, several, hopefully, decades of improving myself and learning as much as I can about this beautiful universe that I've somehow woken up in, and trying to figure out the best way that I can absorb this beautiful world that I'm in with the limited time that I have. And that gives me all the reasons that I need to wake up in the morning and try to live every day to my fullest potential. I don't want to let a single moment slip by.
Right.
And
you don't have 10 billion of them to come after you die.
Exactly. And each one of them is valuable, from the ones that I use for sleep to the ones that I use to cook new recipes. I just made a new tater tot chili. I never heard of chili tater tots before. Just made that at home today from a friend from a recipe. Look forward to that. The next day we'll probably be making some new things. And then, you know what? A month from now, I don't know what I'll be doing or what I'll be cooking, what kind of song I'll be making, or what distance I'll be running. But that's exciting. Not knowing things in the future, like that level of unknown,
uh-huh.
just adds a level of excitement for, not only things that'll happen in the future, but the things that I can do now. I'm just constantly fulfilled with this awe-inspiring, motivation to constantly surprise myself with what I can do next. And I feel like that's an opportunity
right.
that I've had, that's unlocked, since I've given away the concept that there's some giant being that I will never understand in my lifetime that's already planned out everything for
right,
me.
Right.
Now my life is in my own hands, mm-hmm. and I couldn't ask for anything more than that.
Right. And I would like to add to that and say that it's probably about the most important thing you can do, is come up with many purposes for your life. Rather than turn it over to someone in the church to tell you what you need to be doing with your life, plan it out yourself. Make your own goals. Do what you need to do to make yourself and your family happy and successful and thriving. Also, we were talking about you're not going to have 20 billion moments to come in the next life. I've had people say, where do you get your value in your life if you don't have religion? And my answer is that religion makes it less valuable. Value comes from scarcity. The reason we pay so much for diamonds is they're scarce. Same for gold and silver. Anything that's very rare or scarce has a high value. And us atheists know that our life is the only life we're ever going to have, and we give it great value. Because of that, we know that death is not just a change of address, it's the end of everything. And it's the end of our consciousness in this beautiful, wonderful universe that you were talking about. As Christopher
right.
Hitchens would say, it's not so much that you've got to leave the party, but you've got to leave the party knowing that the party is still going on and people are having fun. that's a hard thing to come to terms with on the death of an atheist. But it comes to all of us. Every living thing on the planet comes to an end. You just have to deal with it.
I've heard of that analogy. I've heard of the analogy of, like, you can think of your life as like a party, and death as in your ticket to leave the party, or like being kicked
uh-huh.
out of the party while the party's still going on.
Yeah.
I find that, while shocking, you know, and sobering true, Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the point of view that you might have once you like come fully to terms with what death is. And I find it more of like going on a starting a weekend, you know, and you find out that, oh man, this weekend that I have is actually like a 3-day weekend. You're like, oh, Friday I'm going to do this, Saturday I'm going to do that, Sunday I'm going to do this. So you work hard on Friday, you work hard on Saturday, you work hard on Sunday, and you enjoy that 3-day weekend knowing that it ends. But if you didn't know that it was like the weekend would have ended eventually, mm-hmm. you might have spent that entire weekend sitting on the couch throughout Friday.
Right.
Sitting
right.
on the couch throughout Sunday, Saturday, thinking, oh, I'll do the laundry Sunday. Oh, mm-hmm. I'll go outside. Yeah. I don't care. It's kind of hot outside. I'll take it the next day. And then your time's up and you're like, oh man, I should have used my time all wisely.
Right.
The idea
right.
that you know your time's limited gives you all the value of the hours that you have, gives you all the purpose you need to get up in the morning and use that time wisely, because you know it's not going to last forever.
Yes.
And in that capacity, the concept of it ending adds value to everything else. Mm-hmm. As crazy as it sounds,
right.
death gives life value.
Yeah.
And it's not something that should be looked at as like, it should be looked at something like, when you hit death, you should be like crossing that, you should be crushing that finish line. You'd be like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better take me out because I'm killing life right now. I'm amazing,
yeah.
and nothing could have stopped me. And I'm glad I knew it was coming up because I lived a fulfilling life. I have nothing to regret when this time comes.
Well,
that's the
it,
kind of life that every Christian should go for.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, any Christian will tell you that Christianity, the message of Christianity is good news. You don't have to die. No, but you have to spend your entire life worrying about hell. And the good news of atheism is there is no hell. Mark Twain once said, I was dead for billions of years before I was ever born, and I was never inconvenienced a bit.
Exactly.
So, I mean, death is just an end of consciousness. You're not going to be suffering somewhere in a lake of fire, and you're not going to be suffering somewhere singing carols to a god every minute of every day for the rest of eternity. I can't imagine any much more of a hell than that.
Sure. In fact, I would even akin it to, like I said, I went and gave blood today. If I spent that entire time leading up to the point where I get that first injection, the shot that like pulls the blood out, mm-hmm. thinking to myself, oh, it's going to hurt. Oh, this is going to be terrible. Oh, this is going to
yeah.
hurt. I feel so bad.
Yeah.
That entire time would be wasted because it's only a quick little moment
mm-hmm.
that you get punctured.
Yeah.
And then once you get hit, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
And you ultimately can think back on like, it's just a little pinch and you're
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
Maybe death for a lot of people could just be, you know, a quick little thing that you don't even realize. And then after it's over, who cares? You're already dead. So like at
yeah.
this point, consider that you, if you're listening to this podcast, you have this wonderful opportunity of being one of a very, very, very few living organisms in the known universe. And you have every opportunity right now to make the best of it. Today, tomorrow, and as many days as you can possibly string out into this amazing combo of success and a wonder and amazement and intellectual growth. And you shouldn't let anything stymie you that, particularly fear of the supernatural, because what you make the realization as an atheist is there is no supernatural, or at least there is no convincing proof or evidence for supernatural, and you shouldn't behave in or give any concern to supernatural until there becomes more proof for it to exist.
Right.
And
I
if that's the case,
mm-hmm.
just pass it aside and live your life. You should have a happy one.
Yeah. It's funny that, you know, there are, you know, Christians and other religions who depend on the existence of a soul just assume it's real because they've been taught from their earliest childhood that everybody has a soul. Dogs, cats, animals don't have it. But everything else on the world who's living dies except humans. Right. I mean, it's the height of arrogance to me to say, nope, we're the one thing on earth, the one species that doesn't have to die. And that just, it's asinine. Of course we die, and it comes to an end, and that's it. Now, you would think that over the last 3,000 years, if Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or any of these, I'm not even sure about Buddhism on that list, religions that depend on the existence of a soul, would have produced evidence for a soul or been able to produce a soul period. You know, where does it reside in the body? How many autopsies do we have to go through before we find a soul? We've never found one, never have found any evidence for a soul. But yet, we're all trained to worry about where it goes, and that just falls right into the bailiwick of the church, and you pay them for indulgences and forgiveness and to talk to God for you, and they take advantage of that, of the supernatural belief that they have instilled in you.
And I would say only on top of that is, even if a soul existed, we have no good reason to believe that one does yet. So until that time, you know, until we figure that out, you should live your life as happy as you need to. You should live your life as respectfully as you need to. You should live your life as, you know, where you really are stringing out every credible second, you know, that's given to you and making the most of it. Because you have this wonderful advantage of being alive, and not a lot of people have that opportunity.
All
it
right.
Sounds like there's a lot when you look to left and right, but think about all the people who've died behind you, who spent their entire lives chasing something they've never caught, mm-hmm. or trying to understand something that will be forever incomprehensible, mm-hmm. or trying to wrap their minds around something that will never communicate with them in a real sense, in a real demonstrable sense,
right.
maybe in a poetic, you know, feel-good sense. But that's not enough to, like, sustain an entire lifestyle for the most part.
Yeah.
It still leaves a lot of people searching and wanting. And the only way that they can fulfill themselves is by getting other people to continue that search with them.
Right.
Get out of that. It sounds crazy, but once you get out of that, once you realize that, once you get out of that loop, that those chains, you have an entire life ahead of you. And you can use it any way you want. And you can feel way more freedom, really enjoy true freedom, true responsibility for your actions, and have this wonderful sense of belonging, knowing that you are part of an incredible phenomenon that has occurred who knows how many times in the sequence of events that we're aware of in this universe. But you are here now, and now you can make the most of it, and I think that's worthwhile.
Well,
don't let that opportunity
sure.
pass you by.
It definitely is. Trying to think. My purpose in life, you were talking about the things that you like, and I've always said that my purpose is like the same as every other person. It's home, it's health, it's family, it's endeavors, you know, whatever I choose to do for work, for my life. And it changes throughout your life. It changes, like,
yeah.
if you're a child, your job, your purpose is to go to school, grow a strong body, become healthy so that you can become a healthy, intelligent, productive adult if you choose to do so. But you may choose
sure.
to be a world traveler. You may choose to be a Kai, if you know who Kai was or is, and travel the world and just experience life. Whatever your purpose in life, don't let someone dictate it to you based on where your soul is going to go in the afterlife, or if you're going to be punished in your aura, or whatever. Make it your job to give yourself purpose in life and make it a good one.
And that's, I think, the key point. So when you make that switch, you let go of the purpose that was ordained for you by a higher power, and then basically assume the responsibility of choosing your own purpose, choosing your own value, and then using that in a society where other people can do so as well, will ultimately make you realize what values you appreciate the most, what purposes are strong enough to motivate you to do good things in the world, because you'll still ultimately be a good person. You'll still have your morals, you'll still have, you know, your philosophies, but they won't be predicated on a supernatural being. They'll be predicated on how you want to treat other people, how you want the consequences of your actions to lead to positive changes in other people's lives. You'll still have all of that. You'll still want the world to be at peace. You'll still want people to generally get along with each other, for you to generally
you
be
want
successful.
To live in a good society, a good beneficial society, so you become part of a good beneficial society. And not
exactly.
for a reward in the next life, but for the rewards you get in this life.
Right. And whatever happens after this life, who knows? But you worked hard to make it matter here, while you are here. And let's say we're all wrong. Let's say, you know, atheism isn't necessarily a declaration that there is no God. But if there is a God and we just don't know it and we don't believe in it, how amazing would it be, God, or how thankful would a God like that be to have a person who, knowing they weren't going to be rewarded, knowing they weren't going to be judged, still went through the work to make a positive change in the world,
right,
just based on their own character.
Right.
And a God that doesn't recognize that is not a God worth worshiping.
Right. And reducing harm in your fellow man, your society.
Exactly. Improving good health and, basically moving through every action of life with the best intentions
right.
possible.
And you do not need religion to do that. Look at the socialist societies of Finland and Switzerland and Norway, Scandinavia. Those are basically godless societies, but they're some of the most well-run, well-educated societies that we have on the earth today. You say, what would a society run by atheists be like? Well, you've got some good examples right there. Those are societies
that
generally do not believe in God.
Their junk food is terrible, and they like soccer, but, you can't be perfect, and it's totally fine. But I guess what we're saying is, as you move from a lifestyle based on a belief system to one that's based on a supernatural belief system or like a theist position to an atheist position, you're not changing who you are. You're still the same person. You still have the same core fundamental wants and desires. The only thing that's changed is your response to one question. And once you realize that, a God is not a priority in your life, but treating people well is, and working hard is, and being kind is, all those things are still there. And you can have more focus on those things than you would on the God, which might be obstructing your ability to have those things as a priority in your life. So really all you need to do is just let go of the idea that you need a God to be kind, that
right.
you need a God to work hard,
or
that
you'll
need
be
a
punished
God
if you don't, or that you're
exactly,
working
yeah.
for a reward. Do it for the sake of being good, for helping your fellow man, and you don't need religion.
That you need a right. That you need a God to conserve the environment or stuff like that. You don't. You truly don't. Mm-hmm. And when you have that, you have all the more freedom and more energy and more time, with the valuable time that you got, the valuable energy they got, mm-hmm. to attack those priorities and live your life more to the fullest. And that's what you enjoy. That's your reward that you get as an atheist. The realization that you have the time and the opportunities to do that, and the more power that you have, realizing that it's all on you to do it. It's an empowering feeling, and it's definitely something that I think is worth trying. Give yourself that chance to doubt some of your beliefs that you have and be willing to exercise more responsibility in your life for the things that you want.
Right. There's a meme on the Internet that strikes me every time I see it, and it's a girl on a hillside in the sunlight, and she's got her arms outstretched, and she says, the meme says that atheism is like taking a deep breath after being choked all your life.
Oh, my gosh. Why are you always so... We're trying to stay positive, guys. We really are.
Well, the deep breath is positive.
True. It is positive, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like... Oh, man.
Anyway, we're coming down at the bottom of the hour if you'd like to broach the last topic. Sentence or two or whatever. We've got a couple minutes.
Okay, so we are the Digital Free Thought Radio show. We are here every Wednesday starting at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our new time slot. We used to be on Sundays, but now we switched. And so we're slowly building an audience here. If you'd love to participate, feel free to contact us via many routes. If you don't like calling in, we also have an email, digitalfreethoughtradio@gmail.com. We have a website at digitalfreethought.com, and, we have the phone number at the top, 865-333-5937. Feel free to contact us anytime. Feel free, if you're still too shaky about contacting two weird atheists on the radio, just give yourself the opportunity to ponder what we talked about. Realize that you are a person that has plenty of time to figure out this thing on your own, and give yourself some safe space to doubt some of the things that you hold dear, because that's valuable.
So true. And since we're getting to the top of the hour, I'll give my email out one more time. The email for Digital Free Thought is digitalfreethought@gmail.com. But if you want to write me particularly, it's doubter5@digitalfreethought.com. I'll be happy to hear from you and or answer your emails on the air. Remember, everybody's going to somebody else's hell, and the time to worry about it is when you have evidence that souls and hells exist. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time. And this is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WZO Radio 103.9 LPFM. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.